shall we pray, Heavenly Father, we need your strength as never before, and perhaps that is exactly why that we saw what was taking place in the life of your own Son, Jesus Christ, the Beloved, wherein in the height and flesh and grandeur of his power, where you were working in and through him in marvelous miracles and deeds, showing forth, Lord, that he was indeed that prophet who was to come. And then when the word began to come, we saw the failure. We saw the people fading away. We saw that they did not want the word. And at the end time, as the pressure grew greater and greater, him standing alone, you withdrew yourself from the Garden of Eden, and there he was by himself with his memories of those times of gone by ages, Lord, which encouraged him, we know. And then at the cross, they all deserted him, and there was no one there except the thief who saw no evidence of anything whatsoever, a dying man, a dying one who made claims. And yet he saw beyond it even greater than Peter's revelation. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Lord, we know that's the way it is because that's the way it was with Noah at the time of the ark. We know that's the way it was when the time of Paul closed out. And we know, Lord, that's the way it is with us, that it's more and more difficult to be for me as a person here and everybody in this building, Lord, and the sound of my voice, if they can possibly take the understanding and the little lesson we have at this time, Lord, that times are dark, but the light shineth in darkness. The darkness can't do a thing about it. So we look to you, Lord, today to guide us and help us over these rough times, which as we surmount them, we'll look back and realize they weren't so tough at all. They weren't so bad. It's just a little memory, and now we're going on. And this is, Lord, how I look back in my life, and I keep telling the people how tough things were. I realize in my heart that they weren't really tough, not that I'm telling a lie, but they were only tough at the time, even as your own words said. There's no discipline and no trial, none of these things, but they looked difficult at that time. But later on, they show that the blessing and goodness of God, because as Brother Branham said, the wind, strong winds blowing upon the old oak, rattling and shaking it, only make it put its root down deeper, that it's got more nourishment and more of a hold in the rock than ever before. And Lord, that's the way we are this morning. If we'll only receive it, and by your grace we will receive it. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to go to number 14 of the spoken word is original seed. And before I begin, I'm going to be looking at something which I'm not really trying to put my thinking to. I believe that I'm accurate in what I'm going to say. The scientists will not believe me. The fundamentalists will not believe me. The majority of Branhamites will not believe me. Because I'm going to try to tell you exactly where syphilis, venereal diseases, and AIDS come from. And why it is with us today. And of course, this will be a joke. Except I don't joke. So, we're going to look at this thing as we progress into what Brother Branham said. And I'll lead up to it by reading my notes and going to the scripture. And if I'm fortunate, I have written it down the way I wanted to write it. And if I'm not fortunate, we have a little bit of problem on our hands. And we'll have to figure it out as we go along. My writing is not too good. When it gets cold and frozen, it's like my brain cold and frozen. All right. We're going to start. There were some very interesting and puzzling statements that we dealt with last Sunday, one of which was that Brother Branham called Eve an hybrid in the face of Genesis 2:18, where God said he would make Adam a helpmeet. Now, Genesis 2:18 said there was no helpmeet for Adam. And helpmeet means one of his own kind or species. The reason for this was that in the mind of God, it was not good for man to be alone. That's what the Bible said. I'm going to make one of his kind, one of his species, because I don't want him alone. How alone was he? Good question. Now, the word in the Hebrew for good is the word tov, which means nothing except it's called tov, which simply means good in the widest sense. Yet, it is the same word used by God when he viewed all creation by his spoken word, such as in "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that it was good. Now, that was good. Nobody doubts it. But it wasn't good if Adam was alone. So with it all. Thus all things God created and formed, and all according to his thoughts and words, were good. There was a complete harmony in all creation, all good. Not only is this so, but the scripture uses the same word tov, or good, in describing God himself and his word. It never varies. Look in the Old Testament, you'll find it. Now then, God says, it is not good for Adam to be alone. So therefore, if it was not good, there's an imperfection. And the only perfection would be in the cessation of the aloneness. God giving him this helpmeet, one of his kind. Huh? Is that right? Okay, that's easy. Okay. We'll go on now. So it never varies when you use the word good, but it is not good for man to be alone without his species. Thus man in earth form body by himself is evidently not in harmony with God and all creation as he should be, for his state is not a good one, no matter how wonderful it may seem in that Garden of Eden, the paradise of God. Right? The question then comes, how good is good? Well, it's got to be as good as God, or it ain't good. Hey, what am I supposed to do? Well, come on, what am I supposed to do if I don't see this? You with me? Now, I'm not joking, I'm just maybe smiling, grinning, whatever you want to call it. And I'm not facetious because I'm doing it. I just want to get it across to you. Body language, anything else. God is good, the Word is good, and everything he did was good, except concerning Adam. It wasn't quite so good, but it could be good if God did something. Well, let's go on. It is strange, but in the Hebrew, it is called bad, or bad, B-A-D. That's alone, the word alone. It comes from the word bodad, which means to divide. That is to be solitary or alone as divided from. Divided from, and he's alone. He's not there, and he's not there. He's alone. He wishes he were here or wishes he was there. And it's wonderful, but it's still not so wonderful because he's divided. He's alone. Right? Kind of funny, isn't it? Why don't you keep going? Alone or bod means separation by implication as a part of the body or a branch of the tree. Now, he's a branch, but no tree. So to speak, there's something wrong here. Divided from the body. Divided And yet, he should belong. There's something there that just isn't working. This makes us to see that Adam stands alone and is not a part of something that he could or should be a part of. He stands alone, separated. So, let's go to Genesis, the second chapter. 19 and 20. And the Lord, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowls of the air, and every beast of the field. But there was Adam alone. He was different. He didn't have anybody. So, Genesis 2:19-20 tells you that the tree or body that Adam is not a part of, and he stands alone. Now here's old Adam in a body. He's not a part of this. Now, whatever that is over here is not a part of that. In the way he should be, he's alone. This is exactly found in Genesis 1, 26. Now, when I say exactly, I'm talking what I see. You don't have to believe me. But this is what I see, and it's interesting. 26. And God said, let's make man in our own image, after our likeness. 27. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created him, male and female created them. And God blessed them and said, let be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so do it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed and so on. And verse 30, to every beast of the field and every fowl of the air upon earth, wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat. It was so. And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now notice the very good was in the understanding that Adam would not be alone, because already there was everything that could have made up and put him right in the bracket where he should be. So, okay. Especially we notice he's standing there with dominion over everything. Then we read in Genesis 2:1-9, the heavens and earth were finished and all the hosts of them, and the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day and all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God had created and made. It was all good, remember. These are the generation of heaven and earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the heaven and earth. The earth and heavens. Now remember, 1,000 years per day is a generation. So generation can be 1,000 years. It can be 100 years. It can be many things. There's 1,000 this time. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field and so on, came up and missed water the ground. And then it says in verse 7, and God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now this is something not created, but formed, and a part of the eternal God makes up this man. Okay, we're still reading. And God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man we had formed. Not the ground that Lord God made to grow every tree, that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now remember, that's out of the ground. But the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil never came out of the ground. Now we know the tree of life eventually came out of the ground with a virgin body. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil Satan had to take over a beast, then he had to take over Judas, and now he's going to take over a pope. None of those are virgin born. None. No. Different, see? Difference in how they come out of the ground. A root on a dry ground. This one seed that Jesus, that Brother Branham talked about, fully identified, came through the virgin. The virgin womb, as Brother Branham called it. Okay, let's go to 1570. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest of dying, thou shalt surely die. Now notice that's the command to Adam. That was not said to Eve. See? That's why Adam was in the transgression. Eve wasn't. She was fooled. We've got to watch things here. Notice again. Genesis 1:31. The Lord God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. The evening morning was the sixth day. From Genesis 1:31, that includes, let us make man, to Genesis 2:9, and verse 17, there's nothing but perfection until we find a hint of a flaw in Genesis 2:9 and 16:17. He put him in the garden, and then said, hey, everything is yours, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He never put a ban on the tree of life, only on the other tree. Didn't come out of the ground. See? Keep that in mind. Here we cannot help but see that if the perfection of full-flowing good is from God's original seed word, the evil tree of death is not the original seed. Everything else is. So, the evil tree of death is not the original seed. That's true. And remember, if spoken word is original seed, and there is a fruitage, a manifestation, and that is good, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil is death, then it was not a part of the original spoken word. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Everybody get this, because that's what Brother Branham was hitting at. Spoken word is original seed. The original seed is a spoken word. Anything else is not. Everything else is not. So if you don't get back to the beginning, something's wrong. You'll never get the Garden of Eden. Whence then is this evil tree? All right, let's find this evil tree. This evil tree is in Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now notice, that's the temptation that came to Jesus. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can hide from thee. They can hide from thee. With thy wisdom, with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and thou hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasure. Now, if you're wiser than Daniel, you'd have to be an archangel. Right? Because the archangel Gabriel came to Daniel, right? Well, come on. I think I'm perfectly okay in saying that. Maybe I'm not. Take it with a grain of salt. But look at it. By thy great wisdom, thy traffic has increased, thy riches. And thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. What does that sound like? The book of Revelation chapter 18, does it not? Thus saith the Lord thy God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, and terrible of nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. And they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? but thou shalt be a man and no God, and in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Whose hand? Well, you're going to wound somebody's heel, and somebody's going to take your head off. Right? Right, huh? Chapter 19, 20, book of Revelation. Okay. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken as saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre. Say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Who is there? The cherub that covered. Who was there? Notice, every precious stone was thy covering. He had an ephod. Just like the high priest, the sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Jesus Christ wasn't created, he's born. You and I aren't really created, we're born. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity is found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise and so on and so on. In verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. The beast is the smartest of the whole bunch. Nobody can contend with him. Fool thee, fools anybody. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic. He knew better and didn't do it. Therefore I bring thee, bring forth a fire in the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. Notice right that, what happens? The judgment of God by what this thing does itself and the church that does it with him. Now, who was in the Garden of Eden? Who was that tree of knowledge of good and evil? Now, this is based upon Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 17. How art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I'll ascend into heaven. I exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain and the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that shake kingdoms? And so on. All right, the tree of life is the spoken original seed. Why? Because it gives life. The other is not. But you notice the combination, good and evil. Now what is evil? It's Cain. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, proving he was righteous. Thou hast offered well. Yet if thou hast not correctly divided, hast thou not sinned? It was the evil deed of Cain that brought him to kill his brother. So here we find two trees contending for the worship of God, and no man can come unto the Father except by the Son. See? Following? Huh? You follow what I'm doing here? Tree of life is the original spoken word. The tree of death is the perversion of the word. By whatever means it is perverted. Twins are in the Garden of Eden. Now watch. What I'm trying to show you is a progression. Man in Genesis 1:26 was in the perfection of harmony and not numbered amongst the animal kingdom, but was over it and all the creation on earth. Right? Man in flesh and alone, which means he was separated from all angelic and spirit creation and also from the animal kingdom, was in a position called not good. You understand then why God left him alone in the Garden of Eden and stood back and watched? I say, now God should have been watchful. He was. No problem. You follow me? Now, angelic or spirit beings don't propagate. Jesus said so. In the resurrection, you're neither male nor female. And the question came up, whose wife should she be in the resurrection? So you don't know the word of God, the meaning of Scripture, and you don't know the power of God, because in the resurrection, they're like the angels in heaven. They don't propagate. And then people come along and say, well, you know, the sons of God were those fallen angels that pressed themselves into human form, and they copulated and brought forth these great people. Hogwash, what dithering, imbecilic junk. That's the cream off of manure head, theologian. Animals do propagate, and Adam was supposed to. So he was given a wife to reproduce himself, a son of God. The woman is one of these species. Yet Paul told us by revelation in 1 Corinthians 11, 1-12, that the woman is a byproduct and not in the original creation. Brother Branham said that. Well, I got news for you. The Apostle Paul said it. Let's go over to the first chapter, the first book of Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And we're going to read it. And we're going to get to 1 to 12. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances I have delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. He can't make God his own head there, because it tells you he is the head and Christ is the head of man and so on. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonors his head. Well, that's the Bible. And every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is all, even all of one, as if she were shaven. In other words, divorced and she's thrown away. For if the woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. She got short hair, whip it all off. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for inasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. That's why you find what it says in there. God created man in his own image, then male and female created he them. Well, far as I know, you got a better thought? For this cause ought the woman to have authority on her head because of the messengers. In other words, she should take her place. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Notice what he's saying. God had his own divine order of creation to put it there. See? Then, because of what transpired, God knowing it, you have this order here set in the church and through the ages. Now, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things are God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Now you notice what it says in there. Verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now you see, we're looking at what Brother Branham said. The woman is a byproduct. Now, this does not lessen the woman. Please understand. This is not a chauvinistic pig, stupid Paul, stupid Branham, from a chauvinistic God. This is something we accept. And Brother Branham, in the marriage and divorce that you women hang on, you'll find your proper place in Christ, and that is true. The woman is a byproduct and not the original, and that is true. So here is what I feel Brother Branham is saying when he called Eve an hybrid. She was made different from Adam, and thus more removed from the spirit kingdom and closer to the animal kingdom, so that whereas Adam could never co-produce with an animal, she could and did. Remember what the beast did. He came to the woman. And Brother Branham said that was sexual sin. Well, now watch where we're going. Just keep that in mind. Let's go to 1 Timothy. And 2:11-15. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. To what? The man? No, the word. But the word's got to come from the man. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man to be in silence. So what's the authority over the woman? The word. The same as over the man, but it's got to come by the man. And the woman wearing the hair long shows that she understands this. And so she's not trying to preach and teach somebody. She minds her own hair and keeps out of her husband's hair. True. That's a good little thought. It's very spiritual too, by the way. Now watch. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. The difference lies in how God did it. The difference doesn't lie in male superiority and female inferiority. It lies in what God did and how He did it in order to conform to what God wanted. And this is what God wanted. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Adam was worse than that. Now notice, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with sobriety. Now this is a special promise to every single woman that's born again and part of the bride. She can claim this. Now you say, Brother Dale, why don't they? The same reason I'm not claiming my healing. We're too doggone lazy to pay the price. We don't zero in. That's what's wrong that's been happening in the church. To some people, they can't zero in. We're dealing with life and death this morning. Well, I got a few amens, the rest of you kind of stonewall me. Which is okay, that's your business, not mine. Where are you going to go from here? Where are you going to leave that? The one thing in all this world that even smacks of reality. And the world says, you're deluded, you're trying to wash minds, and they're doing the same thing. But I'm dirty because I use my method, the blood and the word, and they use every old crap and crud from the church. But they're okay. We're not okay. Are you going to wake up this morning, people in this tabernacle, this church here? That's what's going on. The devil wants you, Norm. He wants you and your wife and you, every one of you. He wants you, Laura. Ruth, he wants you too. Makes the church kind of quiet, doesn't it, right now? Well, the devil doesn't want me. Well, it may be true the devil wouldn't, even the devil wouldn't want you. That's your business. You didn't smile, you should have. Because I didn't mean it. I just meant it to get your goats. You know, the saying is, even the devil wouldn't want him. I'm not afraid. That person, even the devil wouldn't want him. Don't you kid yourself, baby. Don't you kid yourself. He wants to be God. He wants them all. Like Brother Branham said, the Methodists want the Baptists, the Baptist Presbyterian, the Pentecostals want them all, and they got them. Now, this is what it says here. The woman was deceived into sexual intercourse because what in the name of heaven has eating apples got to do with childbirth? If I get blood poison in my finger, they don't cut off my toe. If I steal money, they don't pick me up for adultery. If I shoot somebody, they don't grab me for forging a check. Neither does God talk about reproduction if the sin wasn't sexual. Because there's only one thing that brings on a baby, that's sexual intercourse. That's why one of these days you're going to see the results of test tube babies like you never believed could happen. You wait, you'll see. Don't kid yourselves. All right, I'm talking about this. Now let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. And my notes are going to take up all this morning again, and I don't care one way or the other. Because that's all I want to deal with anyway. And it says in Revelation 2, that's the first part of the book, and I missed it again. I got it this time, I think, yeah. 18 to 23. And unto the messenger which is in the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. Now remember, that's Holy Ghost, who hath his eyes like unto flames of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. Now he's talking to the church ages, Son of God, Holy Spirit. Son of man is not, although the Holy Spirit brings that ministry. I know thy works and charity, service and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, the last more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. Now notice, this is what's happening in the church. This harlot prophetess has got part of the bride food. And she's doing things she shouldn't do. Now, that ought to answer your question, what can happen in the bride? If she's messed up. To commit fornication. Spiritual. Off the word. Eat things sacrificed out of. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I cast her in the bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, if this is literal concerning the great tribulation, you are seeing when this was, and I got to backtrack here now, this comes to the bride, but evidently the bride does not pick it up. She's fooled for a while, but she gets rid of it because she repents of it. And these here in tribulation are going to have to be foolish virgin with the harlot herself. Now what he says about the harlot, I will kill her children with death. That's the lake of fire. And all the churches shall know I am he which searches their reins and hearts, and I will give to everyone according to his works. Now listen, this is talking about the history of the church, and it goes to every church. And it was our age alone that we found that God can read every heart through a prophet that says, you couldn't hide if you tried, and they couldn't hide. And that's why every now and then Brother Branham would look down the Pentecostals when he talked about one God instead of three. And he said, you're not believing what I'm saying because I can read you. And yet people today still don't want me to stand up here and say, now, Brother Bale, you shouldn't really tell the people because that's going to hurt somebody's feelings. Would you sooner go to hell feeling real good or go to heaven with one of your hands missing? My Bible said it's better to go to hell with your hands missing. Amen. Heaven rather than your hands missing, go to hell with both hands on. See, the devil would like to trip me up this morning, but he ain't quite that smart. Let's go to Revelation 17. In Revelation chapter 17, we read verses 1 to 18, which we won't have to read the whole thing. And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven vials and talked to me, saying, come hither, and I'll show thee the judgment of the whore, great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. That's her idolatries. He carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearl, having a bright cup in her golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination of fornication. Doesn't that sound like the devil what's sitting in the Garden of Eden? And upon her forehead is name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, abomination of the earth. The woman drunk with the blood of the martyrs, with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and I saw her wonder with great admiration. In other words, say, this was a beautiful spectacle. How can the church... Oh, come on, these people got to be born again. How many times have you heard that? What do you people think you are? You're the only ones that got something? Come on, look at these people out there. They're putting you to shame. You talk about love. Why, you stupid bunch of jerks. Here, listen to me. There, you don't have any love. Oh, look how you jump on people. I'd sooner be jumped on to keep out of hell than patted on my back and go to heaven. Because usually the same person that pats you on the back is not at all unhappy when you lean over it to kick you just where and how far. Oh, no. No problem at all with him. No problem at all. Once it gets you on the grease logs, you'll see where you're going. All right. The beast that thou sawest is not, and shall ascend down the bond pit and go into perdition. Chaos. They that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose name is written not in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now remember, there's one book from the foundation, one before. And here's the mind which hath wisdom, seven heads or seven mountains, and so on, right down the line. And it tells you about this church here, and I don't have time to read it. Except remember, Brother Branham's sixth vision was a woman who was beautiful, terribly cruel, and the last vision, destruction. So what you're looking at here was what started in the Garden of Eden. And it starts back there with the byproduct. Now, notice carefully. Eve was an hybridizer. Notice, Adam was alone. He didn't belong to the animal kingdom, didn't belong to the spiritual. He couldn't mix with either one of them. He was left sitting there till his byproduct came along. And instead of him elevating her to the position wherein he could have made his choice to the upper, which is that seed Brother Branham said she should have borne, where true life comes, or go down together, but she took an animal so much like a man and better than a man, every way, shape, and form. But he wasn't. So she got all messed up. Eve was an hybridizer, and make no mistake about it. Now listen, I've just finished writing my understanding, which I have read to you, and as I finished, it came to my mind that Adam, being in the image of God, had to be different from Eve, who was not in God's image, but his, Adam's, so she was, and therefore, between the image of God and the image and likeness of animals, and thus she was actually a hybrid. And when she went the way of the beast, every one of us became hybrids. Now that's the thing right there we'll be looking at too. Now, that brings us to the next important point. It was made by Paul in 1 Corinthians 6. Good time to change it. And 13 to 20. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Now it tells you that. Spiritual and physical is not God's idea or plan. Of course, what's his plan? Temple of the Holy Ghost. Now the body's not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now there you are. Now that brings you right back to good. It's bringing you to the place of good. Let's watch it. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Now watch. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Now that couldn't be said before, though it was true, way back in the garden. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. See, that's what Adam did. What, know ye not that that which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. Now there is a way to be one flesh and retain everything that God had for them, and they blew it because Brother Branham said they would have come to it. But they didn't. For truth says he shall be one flesh. Now notice at the time of the garden they're separated. They're one flesh from one source, stepped down from Adam, but they're still going their own way. She's running over here, just talking to the beast, and he's over here picking the leaves up and things like that. But watch. Know ye not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. Now that's an actual sexual proposition. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That also is a sexual proposition. Because the spirit now comes upon that soul that's in there dry, can't come out. The water comes upon it. And that's like you could call a literal sexual union. Of course, it's not. It's the Spirit of God. But you can call it that. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. That's lying, cheating, stealing, everything else. But when you hit that fornication, when you are wrong in your sex act, you are messed up. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Now watch, you're sinning against your own body. You're sinning against your own body. Get that down flat. You can rob a bank, you don't sin against your body. You can blow a guy's head off or a 1 foot hole in his stomach so you can put your head through it. That is not against your body. You can steal. You can cheat. You can fraud. Defraud. That is not against your body. Wrong intercourse. You follow me? You better, because I'm leading up some points here. We're not finished yet. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that's in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, don't you dare stoop to fornication. All right. We understand that, don't we? All right. You can see right here where Adam sinned and Eve caused the problems. Now, Brother Branham said, a woman embraced to a man's bosom leaves a print on that man's bosom that no other print can conform to. So when the serpent took Eve, Eve imprinted him. She's in sin. And notice what she did. She sinned against her body. Huh? Huh? Something happened to her. Something happened. Now Adam takes her. She's the prostitute Eve. She hits his circuitry. Short circuit. He's changed. Bodily. Bodily. Hey, Brother Bill, I don't think that's right. Oh, I didn't ask you if you were right. I'm not asking. You don't have a thing coming because I'm preaching the sermon. Think over later on to get through. Oh, that's why an old man should be offended on that one. Well, let him preach my sermon. Would you sooner hear his goopity-gop stuff or you sooner hear what I'm telling you? Because I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. I'm going to tell you where syphilis comes from, where AIDS comes from. Then I'm going to tell you why the scientists are wrong. Don't I believe me? Oh, don't bother. Who, you know, I mean, I'm not being mad at you or anything. Just tell me, hey. A woman embraced to a man's bosom leaves a print on that man's bosom that no other print can conform to. That's why there's no use looking for another woman or anything else. Adam is stuck. So that means that the very inner nature of a man can be changed by sexual intercourse and the pattern is fixed. What is it, Brother Bale? The Bible isn't scientific. Well, you're not so smart. Oh, this is what Bill Vanderveer hates. He loathes the man that preaches it. Because I strike home to everyone and I'm not excluding myself. You want little bedtime stories. Like O'Malley told in Bob Brown's church, he converted people to the message by preaching Pinocchio. Come on. Let me repeat. So that means the very inner nature of man can be changed by sexual intercourse. His circuitry can be changed and the pattern is fixed. To me, that spells genetics and laws of heredity in the human race. So that at the sin of Eve, And then the cohabitation with Eve by Adam doomed us all as hybrids.
Well, brother, they are not me.
Then who are you? Who are you?
Well, it's not scientific. Is it not? Look at it this way also. Let us say Eve had Adam only as his partner. She is a byproduct or step down. Now, in the act of procreation, she is locked into Adam, his bosom, his life. He is affected. For that is the word of God in 1 Corinthians 6 and proven by vindicated prophet William Branham. It wasn't his word, it's God's. Adam is changed, and every child born of Adam or serpent is affected, as Brother Branham said, hybrids. Let us view this as we did last week. We illustrated by using the term circuitry as in printed circuitry. So here is Adam with his printed circuitry. He takes Eve to his bosom, and her circuitry imprints him. What happens? Now listen. A, Adam is a class act number one son. B, Eve is a class act number two person. 3, Eve imprints Adam, not vice versa. Adam is changed. Certainly, he was made to be a little lower than angels, with the promise of being even above them. Wasn't he? You bet your sweet life. Now he is brought down to the animal kingdom. Eve, certainly. And you can say what you want, but the dominant force of all animal life is sexual. Say what you want. Say, well, it's to grab money here and there, everything. That's what he grabbed money for. We're talking about plumb across the board now. This is where Freud had it right, and then he recanted. Because he couldn't go to the Bible and find the answer. And there's no child born without sexual desire. So it's right in his bosom. Now listen. Then Eve was aroused. When Eve was aroused, her circuitry was charged. You women sitting here, I'm not offending you. I'm just telling you the truth. You know it. Want to hurt anybody? I'm not dirty up here like my good buddies try to tell Lee. Oh, he's I just loathe him because he talks about those things. Well, you want to know something? You want to know the truth of why diseases that are sexual are not what people think they are? Do you want to know what's in this hour today and what's going on? I'm trying to tell you. And I'm trying to tell you by following Prophet William Branham and going to the Word of Almighty God. I'm doing my best. Of course, I know somebody could do better. I don't argue that. When Eve was aroused, her circuitry was charged. And that charged circuitry through her body in chemical responses that overwhelmed her spirit and forced her into a full carnal experience. The beast was not her species. See? So she could not imprint him. In the sense we find the imprintation through Adam and others. Though he could in turn imprint her. It works both ways, but the big imprint is now on her. Because it works both ways. Why? Let me illustrate. A. Radium is a source of energy that causes mutations. Right? How many know that? Nobody? You all know it? You don't know it. We're guessing. Does radiation cause mutation? Come on. We all know it. Amen. It causes mutation. Now listen carefully. Radium is a source of energy. Isn't it? Sure it is. The sun is a source. Magnetism is a source. Energy is everywhere. That was Einstein's great discovery. Isn't it the form of energy? All right. B. Sperm is a source of life energy.
and contains that life in the human four rings of life or energy. You have four rings, Brother Branham said, by divine revelation. Which is true, because when you take an X-ray, you are not focusing light in that person. The light of that person's body is going to that negative, and you're being drained. Too much radiation going to kill you, because it's going to kill your life in you. Now, sperm life, a sperm carries the life. A woman doesn't have that life. See, thus we can easily conclude that the beast life or sperm not only energized her ovum to bring a hybrid, but that life from the beast wrought a change in her that was physical, though not noticed. So, Brother Dale, there's lots of energy that really, you know, doesn't affect anything. How do you know, little smart boy and girl? Who told you? Did you get a word from God? Are you the ultimate scientist? What do you really know? Nothing. Except a few things you're taught. Well, see, Brother Dale, what do you know? Nothing. I'm just trying to go what the prophet said and what the word says. And I'm looking in nature. When a rose is dying, the Curlian photographs prove absolutely through, what is the term? They use that red light. Anyway, you can get the picture where it's actually dying. You can see death coming in. And death is a type of energy, a loss of energy. See? Now, thus we can easily conclude or see that the beast life or sperm not only energized her ovum to bring forth a hybrid, but that life from the beast wrought a change in her that was physical, though not noticed, and she in him. Otherwise, 1 Corinthians is a lie. Brother Branham lied. That's in my books, I'm telling you. And I know they didn't lie. Now with the sperm of the beast changing her. Now remember, they're both supercharged with energy. And the energy spells emission of energy one toward the other. But the woman is not a beast. She's a human being. I'm going to get you a little secret right here. Brother Branham said a woman cannot conceive without a sensation. And I think everybody took that to mean an orgasm. We know that is not 100% true. But we know this positively. There is a sensation, whether she's raped or not, there is a sensation. Not that it's welcome, not anything like that. I'm just saying a woman feels, not what a man feels, but I'm just telling you, you could pinch your hand, that's a feeling. I'm just talking about there's something there. And it's way beyond that, because we're talking of now about life, my brother, sister. We're talking about L-I-F-E. Now, you know the greatest life in the world is in the human body. We can go up as high as 200 degrees and not our blood boil if we're right in a sauna and under certain under the right conditions. And if you go way up in the mountain, I think your blood will boil at 90 degrees. I'm not sure about all these things, but I know a little bit about physiology, not enough to tell you anything. And people can survive freezing like you can't believe. And be actually dead, brain dead, and suddenly come to and feel great. Nothing's wrong with them. You can't fool with life. Life is so tremendous and different for people to just put it down and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that's it. It's ridiculous. See? Now, with the sperm of the beast changing her and the discharge of energy, electricity, working upon her circuitry, Adam now inseminates her. Her imprint or circuitry brings him down to her level and possibly below, because he will be receiving also a foreign energy from her conception of a serpent seed. You say, well, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it at all. Just keep listening. Of a serpent seed that could affect him. because it also is emitting an energy that he could and would receive. You say, I don't know that he would. You don't know that he would. How infinitesimal is the amount of zinc that you need for your body? Yet if it's not there, you've got trouble. And yet if you don't have even more infinitesimal amount of copper, the zinc won't work. And if there's a structural flow in your lifeline where the energy from the food and the light can't get to where it's supposed to get, no dice. You know what I'm talking about now? I've talked about the fact these things are more important than people have realized, and what Brother Branham said and what's in this Bible, as far as I'm concerned, is 100% true, and I can see it right down the line. Now be careful. I am postulating this. I'm not a prophet, yet I want you to think about it. Now I believe what I'm saying. Energy is energy. It is emitted and it is received or absorbed. You take and have two balls on a string hanging down, and I can school you pulling it. Zoom. The energy transmitted is the same received, right? Whatever that law is. What is the law? You guys are physicists. Well, I'm pretty close, aren't I, by saying that. We all saw the thing done. Now, energy from radium, X-rays, etc., are emitted and they are absorbed. Radiation kills tumors, but it also kills the good cells. Bad deal. Why is it any different when the explosive energy in both male and female is emitted during copulation? Those energies released are also received. Now, that's what the ancients taught, and I'm not interested in ancient teaching. I'm interested in what Brother Branham said. Now, those energies were to be beneficial, but now they are detrimental. Sexual intercourse is no longer a beautiful and space program to propagate from two energies, but take on a carnal pleasure that can become sinful and carnal. Now, stay with me and listen. It was this sexual intercourse that brought sin and death by sin. Sin entered death by sin. Sin entered death by sin. What was the reason? You say unbelief. Hold it. Unbelief kept to herself would have been strictly neutralized. She blew it. Her unbelief led to a manifestation. And the manifestation was that sexual intercourse. And with it came death. Death entered. What am I trying to tell you? The wrong energy. I beg your pardon. The right energy. Wrongfully used. Brings death. Follow me? Okay. It was therefore this act that brought death, brought sin, and death by sin, because that's what Paul said. The law of energies released and received is more than a law. It is a life propagation matter. Life propagation was made sinful, so therefore the act itself started sin, and sin is death. Notice what it did to that particular place where Adam was between heaven and the beast realm. Took him right down to the beast. That's why they got to get born again. Something's got to be done about it. Sin entered. Therefore, what was good is death. Eve caused every death by bringing out serpent seed, and consequently, see what happens. A, sex is reserved for one man and one woman unless one dies. B, therefore, people copulate apart from legitimate monogamy. This act of light is the act of death. You can say what you want. The Bible says different. And the sin death is in the day of the eating thereof, dying, thou shalt surely die. And nobody lived to be 1,000. It brought physical death. As the poet said, death was not, the words of God were not written to the body. It was written to the soul. And when the soul came into the body, it was the body that died. That's why you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, in order for you, as a temple of God, to be redeemed and brought out of the ground. Don't you see what happened to sex act? Put you into the ground. We're dying, we're dying, we're dying. But Brother Branham said, now God, by an act of creation apart from sex, can bring all that back together again. Now this makes you to understand some of these things I'm trying to get across. Therefore, people copulate apart from legitimate monogamy. This act of life is the act of death. God said so, visiting the sins of the parents upon the children. Now you're getting to where I want to bring you. All manner of conjecture is given to us to explain syphilis. Where did they first pin it? Oh, they said it came from America, brought back to Europe, and it came from the llama train, where men abused themselves with animals, and the animals gave them the syphilis. They have proven that's a bunch of hogwash. They haven't found out yet what did it. No. They haven't found out. They're not going to find out long as they don't go to their Bibles. Now, the Bible tells you, and I've been trying to get this across to you, that the act of copulation, interspersed sexual intercourse, is, without the proper channels, as it came in the beginning, an absolute act of death. So therefore we find that a man who takes a woman to his bosom that is not his God-given and lawful wife, or at least one that you've chosen, that act is sinful within your very soul and your nature. And it's within her soul and her nature. And when you do it, contrary to what you think, it is not an act of pleasure only. It's an act of death because something happens to you. So, Brother Bell, I don't believe that, and you don't believe the Bible. So not the way you teach it. Fine, have your own way. But I can't say anything else but this. What would do it? Now, what am I still talking about? All right. All manner of conjecture is given to explain syphilis. Phooey. It's not that. It is the result of indiscriminate sex amongst people. Death and death all over again. Now, what is really happening? When those forces, those energies, which are going to a wrong place, under the wrong conditions, they cannot help but cause a mutation, as far as I can understand anything about life and radiation. It will cause a mutation. What about AIDS? AIDS is identically the same. Now, here again, Lee Vale the Gross, the guy that's going to be hated. What is sodomy? If you don't know what it is, for God's sake, get a dictionary and find out. In plain English, it's anal intercourse. This is not according to Scripture. The vaginal canal alone is made for that because it is full of muscle. It's rubbery. A woman can have a child. But when you come to the colon, it has a thin wall to it. Now, the energies transmitted the proper way are 100% with God, because it's laid in here. And Brother Branham says sexual intercourse, correctly, is an absolute righteous act. God said, destroy the Canaanites. And those that are in this particular, why? Because you are now transmitting an energy in a wrong place for a wrong reason, which will cause a mutation. Breaking down the walls even. Causing poison. They can listen, my brother, sister. Let me tell you. I'm here as a faithful servant of God, and I'm trying to tell you something. Don't listen to all this junk out there in the world. Go to your Bibles. Find out where it's coming from. It's coming exactly as we know the righteous person knows. It's coming from these sodomites, these vulgar, inhuman, bestial people, of which the Scripture said they're brute beasts. And the Scripture said this generation of homosexuals will not pass away. And Brother Branham said just before he died, homosexuality in California had increased 30% in 1 year, and that's 28 years ago at least. What's the percentage today? Then you think AIDS is going to stop because they have some little thing worked out? I'll tell you what's going to happen. When they think they lick one, they find HIV 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They're going to find any number of things. And I want you to know this. I stand before you with the word of God. Open my hand right toward heaven. I believe what that prophet said. And I believe I've told you the truth. Maybe I haven't, but I believe I've told you the truth. I believe I've opened your eyes to see this. You guard your families as you never guarded your family. And that's what I'm trying to do to this church here. And I'm misled on every single hand because I'm uncouth, I'm unkind, I'm rotten, I'm dirty. Let me tell you one thing. Let Lee Vale go out of this door. Who are you going to get? I'm not trying to scare anybody. My days are numbered anyway. But I've not fed you hogwash. I've not tried to hurt anybody. I stood for the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stood with the prophet like no other preacher ever did or ever will because he's gone. I expect to stand with him in the resurrection. And I expect to stand with you faithful people. Who else would I stand with? Now, let's understand the truth here. Sodomy is death. Brother Branham said the disease would hit the earth where men's bones, their flesh would rot upon their bones, and that's what is doing it. Where did it come from? It came from the garden. It came by destroying the circuitry. The circuitry is destroyed by an energy. And that filthy energy was the wrong use of that which God gave for good. So it is today. Imprint, circuitry. People will do what they want. They're going to keep on doing it. And the homosexuals are running the world. Now they're saying it is proven absolutely the homosexuals, the males, it is genetic. And now they're saying with the women, it is genetic. I just proved it is genetic. How is it genetic? I've told you what it's done to the cells. Listen to me. You've got a sore arm. What do you use? Something like heat. Heat's energy. You say, well, I'm going to use something like capsicum. What's it going to do? It's going to cause your blood to start moving. Energy. When you come in the morning, say, oh, man, I'm tired. What is it? No energy. When you're lying there dying, you can't get up. What is it? No energy. Huh? And where is man's energy today? Sex. 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 Now you don't have to get married to have children. Oh, everything's okay. Hollywood, Hollywood. Yeah. You don't need sexual counseling, none of you. Any more than I did. You need to know your God and His Word. So today, imprint circuitry. And we can do what we want because we will. Well, I wanted to go back to reading here. Talk about two souls. So called. But our time is more than gone. And I don't know how you feel this morning. Whether you think I've just wasted your time. I don't know. I wonder anymore. Seems it's easier to hear lies than everything else except the word of Almighty God. This is the word I preach because Brother Branham said that's what it is. That's what he said. I believe in vindication. I got nowhere to go. I never thought these thoughts just by myself. I listened to the prophet. And if he said it, it's somewhere in the word. He said, a woman imprints the man if she's a harlot. What if you're a legal wife? You imprint that man. That's okay. It's good. You're not going to cause any problem in this world. You're clear. What about the person that commits adultery? Now you wonder why we don't want adulterers in the church. Now some have problems from yesteryear. I can't help you on those problems. That's what you did. You just got to trust God. That's all you can do. Anybody can do here. See? There's more to William Branham's message than people ever believed there was. Oh, we just believe a prophet. We just believe that. Can you go all the way and believe everything he said and trace it to the Word of God? Can you see now where the sin came from? What's happened in the human race? They're going to tell you why this AIDS came from the green monkey. It didn't come from a blue monkey either. And they're going to tell you, well, what it was they experimented on the homosexuals down in New York and places. That isn't true. Oh, it's a retrovirus. It's this, it's that. Somebody did it. The homos did it. Can you understand the male imprint on a male bosom when it should be a female? Can you understand circuitry and energies now and see this is what God said? I'm not trying to preach this as though this is thus saith the Lord, but if it isn't the real truth, I'm seeing today what in the world is this all about? Because the Bible says sin entered and death by sin. And what is the end time death? Rotting on the bones. What is that? AIDS. Hey, what are we talking about? It came from the perversion of sex. Now, don't feel bad, women, because Eve started. Just get that out of your minds and don't look at yourselves and say, hey, look what a crud I have for my ancestor. That is ridiculous. The woman is the glory of man. The highest thing a man could possibly want, anything, way, shape, and form, is a woman. And it better be his woman under the right circumstances. And I'm going to tell you, we would not have seen the world go down in AIDS as it's going today. There'd be healthy people standing here. Yes, they would be. But as this thing we're looking at today, this filthy fornication, is a sign of idolatry. It's a mark showing you that people have departed from the living God as never before. It's showing you why Brother Branham said, I cannot pray for America. No way, shape, and form. 1956. Is 1996 going to see the end of it all? The government tells you, oh, AIDS is really nothing. We really got a lick. And thank God it's not spreading like we think. They were sure the poison from the General Motors plant, I guess it is, around Vandalia wasn't spreading either. But nobody's got a well anymore. It's spreading. Russia was sure that nothing would hurt them with their radiation, and Russia is a vast wasteland of radiation. Everybody's sure. Oh, they're sure. Are they? We talk about people selling their kids 4 generations down the line with the taxes we piled up. That is, the bills we piled up. What about the looseness of adultery today? What is that doing? Death, brother and sister. Sin entered, death by sin. What was the sin? Well, it was that Eve, she should have looked at that guy. Oh, no, she didn't just look at him. All right, that's the best I can do. I hope it's done something for you to begin to see the hour in which we live and understand the perfection of God's Word and what the prophet brought us. And then begin to see our lives in tune and begin to realize if we can trace this down to this hour, what science and other people cannot do, we know in this place what is going on from the vindicated prophet, the Word of the Almighty God that wrote it. There's your picture right there. Then what about these other things? The perfect virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does fornication really mean? Idolatry. Meddling. Put that unpure, that impure thing from among you. Get it out of our hearts and minds. Well, that's enough. Let's rise and be dismissed. It's a long time anyway. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your time of giving us a little more time on earth here together. And I know, Lord, this might not sound what we said any more like preaching the Word of God than nothing.
But, Lord, I don't count it that way at all. I count it to see an understanding of what's wrong in the world and what's happening, and people can say what they want. But Brother Branham categorically said, after the Apostle Paul, the end time, the Spirit of God would visit the church and show us all these mysteries, the things that weren't known. Lord, I believe that Brother Branham pegged it 100%, and as we go to the Word and see it all wrought out in nature, we can see the very same thing. If I've wasted their time, Lord, forgive me. I'll take it all upon myself to apologize for anything else if it must be done. If I am wrong, Lord, I know science can't prove it. I know that way back in 1900, I think it was, Lord, 53 or something. Yeah, the scientists, Lord, Watson and Crick, with opening up the DNA, they said, we've discovered the secret of life. And Brother Branham said, when that would happen, it'd be all over. So we know we've got the runner-up to the secret of life. We don't have just, I don't believe, Lord, exactly in that particular hour. But anyway, we know it's here. People are going to find more and more. And Lord, I don't believe, Lord, at least I'm constrained that I feel I don't need to believe that your word won't show us things far beyond what they're showing us. What science can show us, Lord, is all right. We appreciate that. But we appreciate even more if you show some truth here, Lord, something spiritual, something great within us. Father God, help us to move on in this word, this tremendous sermon that Brother Branham preached. To get even beyond that, to see, Lord, as he brought us to the place of that friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Back to the songs of Solomon, the great husband and wife. The great love scenes, the great truth of what is going on. Now, Father God, help us. If people have been offended, not necessarily this morning, but offended in the past and all, they don't understand. And Lord, we pray for them and ask you, Father, that they may not be offended. And if they are and they go on being offended, perhaps that is the way they were meant to be. I don't know. But I know, Lord, this word does not offend me. I've learned that no matter if it's bitter to take, I've got to look at it the way it's written. I've got to see what the prophet said. And if I'm condemned, Lord, I know that the prophet never did it. I know that no man did it. I know that it's only standing in the light of this word that I see myself am not on part as I should be. That I understand, Lord. That I understand. I can look in the mirror with a yellow brother beside me, and I know I'm not yellow. I can look with a black brother beside me, and I know I'm not black. And Lord God, I know the same word, I can look in that word as you help me to look, not fearfully, but with the veil lifted. And if I see myself, I see Christ in there and I see myself with him. And Lord, I know I'm safe and secure. But if I don't, there's only one thing I can do. And that's to come to you, Lord, with complete honesty, integrity in my heart. And say, Lord, wash out every single thing that is not of your word, that is not of truth. And I may stand in the simplicity of life that is therein. And I may walk in the light as you're in the light, having fellowship one with another, with the bride of Christ. Fellowship with the blood cleansing us all. Marching onward, soon to be taken up, Lord, I believe. And I can say with Brother Branham again, as I've said many, many times, if we're not bride, there's got to be a bride out there, Lord. There's got to be a bride. There's something out there, and we're going to call it a bride. If we're not part, though I want to believe with all my heart somehow to put down all evil thinking and speculations and doubts and fears and all these things, count ourselves a part. If we're not part, help us, Lord, not to stand in our way. That, Lord, is a great prayer from a great man's heart. And I don't claim that from me or the people here, but we're trying, Lord. And could we just come a little into that same experience the prophet had? If we're not it, don't let us stand in the way, but let us at least be foolish virgin, friends of the bride and bridegroom, to glorify your great and holy name. Return to us, Lord, a spirit of meekness and beautiful and beauty in Christ, but not a spirit of weakness, Lord, or cowardice. Not ashamed of you, not ashamed of your word to stand with it, Lord God, that it may be every word that you said in the understanding. Otherwise, we shall be ashamed, Lord, and rightly so. But now not ashamed in your presence. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. Amen. Wednesday, 7:30. Take the name of Jesus with you.